May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other.
Desiderata by Max Ehrman. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story.
Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time.
Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is perennial as the grass.
Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself.
You are a child of the universe. No less than the trees and the stars, you have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy.
In the center of our service, in the center of our lives, it is the custom here to take some time to remember. To remember people we love or have loved, or to seek to love, or to whom we wish to send our thoughts of loving kindness. If you would like to do this by the lighting of a votive candle, you are now invited to do so. A prayer. Let me do my work each day, and if the darkened hours of despair overcome me, may I not forget the strength that comforted me in the desolation of other times. May I still remember the bright hours that found me walking over the silent hills of my childhood, or dreaming on the margin of a quiet river, when a light glowed within me, and I promised my early God to have courage amid the tempests of the changing years. Spare me from the bitterness and from the sharp passions of unguarded moments. May I not forget that poverty and riches are of the spirit. Though the world knows me not, may my thoughts and actions be such as shall keep me friendly with myself. Lift my eyes from the earth and let me not forget the uses of the stars. Forbid that I should judge others, lest I condemn myself. Let me not follow the clamor of the world, but walk calmly in my path. Give me a few friends who will love me for what I am, and keep ever burning before my vagrant steps the kindly light of hope. And though age and infirmity overtake me, and I come not within sight of the castle of my dreams, teach me still to be thankful for life and for time's olden memories that are good and sweet. And may the evening's twilight find me gentle still. I am sure that many of you are familiar with the long prose poem entitled Desiderata, which Aaron, Rowan, and Emily read for us earlier. It became very popular in the 1960s and has remained popular since then. It has been translated into at least 32 languages. Can you hear me? No? Louder. It has been translated into 32 languages. It has even won a Grammy Award. Maybe hearing it again has taken you back in time and reminded you of some memories or stories attached to this poem from your own life. If that is the case, I hope that you will share them with me after the service, because Desiderata has been an important poem for me, a teacher I took to heart. Desiderata came into my life around the late 60s. I was just a little kid, still under 10, when my mother brought a nice parchment paper print of it home from the one Maud Flower Power boutique in town. Today I want to spend some time revisiting it for this first sermon, where I am hoping to introduce myself to you in a way that skips a lot of the straight narrative of my life story and gets more to the heart of who I am as a religious liberal. Desiderata is a Latin word meaning things to be desired. Desiderata, the poem, is about ways of life which the author has found desirable in searching for and finding a state of inner peace. He starts out by saying, "Go placidly." Placid means peace. Go peacefully amid the noise and haste. In other words, don't shy away from the bustle of your life, but take with you a sense of inner peace, what we might call peace of mind, a sense of well-being, maybe a feeling of relaxation or faith, or at least a freedom from worry. It is a common experience, but it is also sometimes elusive, especially amid the noise and haste. So while the first injunction seems simple, it is actually a tall order. In fact, it is a religious pursuit. Silence and stillness can be vital, life-giving. But finding the solitude from which to experience silence and stillness requires determination. Many religious traditions have developed practices to cultivate these paths of silence and stillness to the divine or to enlightenment. Think of the quiet hush of a cathedral. Or think of a temple full of Buddhist monks sitting in meditation. Or think of vows of silence. Or of monasteries which through the ages have sheltered seekers from the noise and demands of life outside the cloistered space. But where do we find silence, stillness, and solitude in our busy, overscheduled lives? Now, some folks do regularly go hiking and spend time in nature, and some individuals actually adopt a meditative practice and learn over time to sit still or chant prayers, training themselves to dwell for short whiles someplace apart from the activity of their day-to-day lives, and more especially the activity going on in their minds. These two are pretty tall orders, requiring discipline and determination and the support of others. The question remains for many, though, how can we find enough solitude for the nurture of inner peace? Where are the chapels in our lives where we can go and rest and discover, if not remember, what peace there may be in silence? I think there is a place we can go, and I bet most of us have done it. Excused ourselves from the company we are in and claimed the right of our solitude, even if just for a few minutes. We head to the restroom. There is a place which is safe and private, We can cry the tears and dry the tears, where we can lock the door and show the anger, give voice to the fear, take our time to collect ourselves, come to terms with the situation on our own terms. It is not always a crisis which takes us there, but isn't it always our deep-seated sense of the restorative power of solitude? Just give me a minute. I'll be okay. Alone here, I will dwell with myself and be strengthened. If this is what goes on there, I don't think it's too crazy to consider the restroom a kind of humble chapel. Restrooms are not the only such chapels. Parks are great, long empty hallways, or the solitary domain of the inside of our car. Gardens are good for gardeners who find solitude in the planting, weeding, and watering. In fact, with enough presence of mind, almost anywhere can become a place where peace of mind can be found. It's the whole Zen type of approach to things. I will chop these carrots and rest my attention in this task of chopping these carrots. Now, I was raised without any reference to God or a creator who was in any way responsible for life or for the ways of the world around me. But Desiderata was like a prayer for me in my atheistic childhood. I read this poem most every day, most every time I went into the family restroom, where it was tacked up on the medicine cabinet door. I knew it by heart, but I still read it aloud to myself because I loved to hear it. It told me that I was a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars, and I had a right to be here. And I think I really needed to hear such powerful affirmations about who and what I was. The poetic expression of this grand existential affirmation touched my little girl's heart. It gave me encouragement and placement beyond the security of my parents' love and our family home. And I believe part of the reason that this piece was able to inform me to the degree it did was because I encountered it in the sacred privacy of a restroom, where a person's solitude was unquestionably honored, where I felt free enough to read with feeling, and free enough to feel that vulnerable need for a God. Desiderata takes a broad view of life and a how-to approach. It offers all sorts of common sense advice about cultivating ways of living which nurture inner peace. Things like being on good terms with people, not comparing ourselves with others, taking our time to say honestly what is on our minds, and then saying it quietly and clearly. These are hard-won but good habits for the cultivation of inner peace. When we make up our minds to speak our truth quietly and clearly, we are choosing peace for ourselves and others. When we listen to others and hear heroism in their stories, we are choosing peace. When we are gentle with ourselves and with each other, we are choosing peace. The poet recommends a path of personal integrity as a reliable basis for self-esteem. Do not feign affection. Be yourself. Accept the changes which come with aging, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in times of misfortune. He doesn't say anything about insurance because true security is not about money. It is about knowing yourself. It is about being able to trust yourself so that whatever sudden misfortune happens, you can hope of keeping peace with your soul. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. What are we to make of this advice? A person who has a vital interest in their work is a somewhat uncommon thing. It is assumed generally that regardless of the type of work, what is of most interest is that it is remunerated well. Of course, this is not true across the board, and we all know some lucky people who are genuinely interested in what they do for a living. Their keen interest in their work provides a richness to their experience which rewards them with personal satisfaction and direction, if not pots of money. Is it sage advice to pursue a career following your bliss this way? I think that it makes good religious sense to encourage people to develop skills in an area where they naturally feel a keen interest, to be drawn by the stronger pull of what they really love. If we can anticipate moving from job to job, at least we can rest assured we are following down a path to which we belong. Then, incremental and varied work experiences can be seen as beads on a string, held together by desire, if not by design. Something which over time becomes the adornment of an individual and uniquely expressive of them. Such a career, however humble, would indeed be a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Who wrote Desiderata, you may be thinking? Probably not anyone with a mortgage. And you'd be about right. The poem has an interesting history as an anonymous text. It has had a life of its own, you could say, being widely disseminated as a wisdom text with a romantic story dating it back to 1692 and its discovery in Old St. Paul's Church, Baltimore. Now, I grew up with this Old St. Paul's Church origin story. I even believed the piece had been found engraved on a tombstone. Nothing like words being cut into rock to make them seem important. Those exotic words like vexatious and aridity convinced me into believing what I wanted to believe anyway, that here was a wise and distant voice that had something to say to me, which transcended time and space and spoke eternal and universal truths about the best way to live. And at least that much is true. But the real story about the poem's origin is that it was written in 1927 by a man named Max Ehrman. Max Ehrman was born 132 years ago today. Happy birthday, Max. They're still with us. In Terre Haute, Indiana. He was a first-generation American, the fifth and youngest son of a couple who emigrated from Bavaria, Germany. It seems Max Ehrman was always a writer at heart. He called himself an idealist, philosopher, word technician. He edited the school newspaper when he studied at DePauw University, and he wrote for the Boston Herald and various national periodicals when he studied law and philosophy at Harvard. He published his first book at age 26. He entitled it Farrago, which means a confused mixture. A humble, bold young man. Max Ehrman returned to his hometown after he graduated from college, feeling the whole world was there in miniature. He worked as an attorney for a couple of years and then as a credit manager for his brother's clothing manufacturing company. He worked all day and took up his pen at night. All four of Max's older brothers were successful businessmen, and they supported him when, at age 40, Max quit his day job and took up his writing career full time. Max Ehrman's literary career produced 20 books and pamphlets and many essays and poems which were published separately in newspapers and magazines. He never achieved fame or fortune, but he did succeed in his aim with the writing of Desiderata. An entry of his diary of 1927 reveals he had hopes of leaving, quote, a humble gift a bit of chaste prose that caught up some noble moods, end quote. And he did it. He left a gift that people all over the world have valued. Yet, I must say, I was somewhat deflated to learn that this wisdom text, which I had loved so well, was not actually such an ancient voice reaching out from a mystical past. I was in Oakville. Baltimore seemed mystical. So I was robbed of this romantic illusion of my childhood as I did the research for today. But I gained something, too. I gained a soulmate, a real live man who I can name, a man who followed his own advice and chose a humble career where he could speak his own truth, a character who liked and needed to retreat into cemeteries and other lovely, lonely places around his hometown to seek out and keep peace with his soul. We cannot always go placidly, yet I believe it is always a desirable way to go. And when or if we fail to go placidly, as people of faith, let us continue nonetheless to long for that inner peace, remembering it and returning to it. To desiderate means to long for something of the divine. And I want to encourage you all today in desiderating peace. I believe the advice Max Ehrman offers in Desiderata is sound advice for cultivating integrity and sensitivity. It is not too complicated or sophisticated, but it points clearly to the ways we can move forward individually, together here, and outside this circle, which nurture a culture of peace. Speak your truth and listen to others. Be yourself and be gentle with yourself. These are fundamental to inner peace. They may be simple to list, but they are not easy to live. Desiderata has been a prayer for me, and it is a blessing still. It is a noble calling to a humble chapel.